James chapter number 3. James in chapter number 3, while you're turning there in your bulletin, this morning is a companion handout for the lesson. And so I want you to find that in a pen if you've got one. I know we've got some folks with kids and stuff. And if somebody's ill or whatever, we want you to be able to be in here. If not, we do have nurseries. And so we want you to know that. If that helps you, we want you to be able to enjoy the lesson and the time around God's Word. James in chapter number 3 this morning, and then your companion handout in the lesson. We're in a series right now entitled Marriage Myths, Exposing Common Misconceptions About Marriage from the Word of God. And we're going through this striving to understand what can we do to strengthen our marriages from the principles that God teaches in His Word. And last week, as we continue in that series, we looked at the communication myth and the idea that we just cannot communicate one with another. And we begin to learn, how can we communicate according to the Word of God? A couple was getting ready for bed one night, and the wife said, "When I look in the mirror, all I see is an old woman. My face is wrinkled and I'm flabby all over." Her husband sat there silent. "Hey," she said, turning to him, "can't you say something positive to make me feel better about myself?" "Well," he said, "your eyesight is still perfect." And now, that is not the communication we're teaching in His design, all right? We're teaching loving, edifying communication. So this we want to abstain away from and communicate in the way that we should. Now, why do we at times believe that we cannot communicate together as husband and wife? Well, we believe it not because we've tried and failed, but we believe it primarily because we're not willing to do what is necessary, making the changes necessary, the adjustments in order to communicate successfully. And that's what we're learning today and through this series. What adjustments do we need to make to have a great marriage? Having a great family is like walking the tightrope. If you're going to get from one end to the other, you're going to make constant, minute adjustments. And if you're going to have a successful family from beginning to end, you're going to make constant, minute adjustments. And you're going to come to a class like this, and we're going to study the Word of God and apply it to our relationships and then learn from the Bible how we can strengthen the areas in our home. Now, what does God say about this topic? And I put some scriptures in your notes, beginning in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32. "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." How many of us this morning would say, "Brother Rule, there's been a time or two where I've said something I should not have said"? And my hand's up. Some of you have never done that. All right. You can teach next week on honesty, all right? And but the Bible says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Man, when we're walking with God, we know what we should say and when. Then look at James 3 as you turn there in verse number 2 this morning. Kind of a reminder of the power of the tongue. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth up on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Just that passage, I believe, gives us pause to kind of remember there's power in the tongue. You know, the kids say sticks or words, I don't know how the rhyme goes, but sticks and stones can break my bones, words can never hurt me. Is that the way it goes? And the idea being that, hey, you can do whatever you want to me as far as saying something, and it doesn't matter. But we know that not to be true. In fact, in many marriages, one of the first indicators there's problems is the communication's not what it should be. And so we began last week and we'll conclude this week. How can we communicate as husband and wife the way we should according to the Word of God? Now, there's some hindrances to communication, and just kind of by way of introduction before we jump into the outline, sometimes our schedules hinder us from communicating. We talked last week about if you're two ships passing in the night because of your schedules, and it's like that all the time, you probably need to reevaluate your schedule. You need to change some things. Why? Because a husband and wife, in order to communicate properly, need to spend time together. I know we live in the era of technology and text message and this and that, and it's amazing the level of relationships people have without having any personal contact. But that's not the way marriage is supposed to be. We need to spend time together, and we need to make sure the schedule allows for that. But not only schedule, sometimes children. And thank God for children. They're the heritage of the Lord. We spent 14 weeks learning from God's Word how to instill the heart of God in their hearts. But I want to remind all of us this morning that children are not as high a priority as your marriage is. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. Your marriage and your family is top priority. Outside of your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse is most important. My dad would often set us four kids down and put it like this. I can always have more kids. I can only have one wife. And that was kind of his way of letting us know where we were on the pecking order. You know what I mean? And mama was number one. And mama made that known. You know what that does? It strengthens a relationship. Because kids have an innate ability to divide. Well, mom said this. Well, dad said this. Well. And they get in between, and this wedge is driven between mom and dad by the kids. You say, Brother Rule, my children would never do that. Never. They understand the sanctity of the home. They love me and my spouse equally. They're just perfect little angels, and they would never, ever, 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 ever try to take advantage of getting between us for their own benefit. I don't believe you. Because your children are not perfect and neither are mine. And that's what they do. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And it's imperative that mom and dad are one. The Bible puts us one flesh. That's going over well. So another hindrance to our communication, television or entertainment can be a hindrance and fear of conflict. Sometimes we don't communicate because we're afraid what will come up when we do. So we learned that last week, and then we jumped in to some factual statements about communication. I'm just going to read this first one because we studied it last week. If you missed it, go to gabriel.com. You can listen to the lesson and follow along there. We learned you can communicate with depth. Deep communication is open and transparent. It is meaningful in content, and it includes listening. We spent some time on that last week. Let's dive into new material together this morning, and I'm so glad you're here. Can I just take a time out and pause and just praise the Lord? I was standing here a moment ago looking around the room, and I know we've got a few empty seats around here. And Brother EJ, I don't know what it is, 150 or something we're set up for in here. But I just want to thank God for what He's doing in our class. And I remember when we moved in here the first Sunday of January from Rebels 309, and we thought, man, I hope we could fill it up, and I hope it's not, you know, half the room's empty, and it's kind of like, man, what are we doing in here? And God's just continued to bless people who love Him and who are faithful and who are reaching out to others. And even Irene today, many this week went out soul winning and knocked on a door and invited somebody to church. And that guest that told you they'd be here, they may not be here. I've got a couple that way, but here's Irene who God brought here this morning. She got online and said, you know what, I think I'm going to go to His design class. And I'm thrilled she's here, but I want to tell everybody this week who went out and invited somebody, that's what God does. God blesses obedience. God blesses when we're doing what He wants us to do. So I just want to praise Him and thank Him for what He's doing in our class. And I just looked around and just said, God, way to go. And I don't know what we're going to do for this fall, but we're going to get some more chairs in there, and it's going to be exciting, or we're going to move, one or the other. So we'll keep you posted, all right? But it's neat to see what God is doing. Let's dive in. Statement fact number two. You can communicate with grace. You can communicate with grace. And where's David and Tanisha at this morning? Right over here, David. David and I were talking the other day, and David was just so transparent and saying, you know, Brother Rule, I grew up in a paradigm where I didn't really get to see a biblical marriage modeled, and I'm learning so many things that I just didn't know. And you know, sometimes when it comes to our communication, we kind of have a way we communicate, you know? And it's kind of just gruff and tough, and it's right there out in the open. It's pointed. It's just there it is, and that's just kind of the way it is. And sometimes we lack a little grace in our communication. And I just want us to know this morning from the Word of God that we can communicate with grace. We can speak the truth in love. We can have a conversation about something that might be a little bit awkward or personal and still do it in a way that's edifying and uplifting. And God's going to teach us how. When it describes of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 4:22, we see in our notes, and all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Who are they talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. How is his speech? And man, we think about some of the messages. In fact, if you were in the 8:30 service or you're about to hear it at 11 about the cost of discipleship, man, that was the Lord teaching. But they said of his words, it was gracious. Even though it was truthful and sometimes pointed and sometimes convicting, it was always full of love. And that should be our speech, full of grace. We see in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let your speech be always with grace. You and I can communicate with grace, with love, with consideration of whom we're communicating with. What does that mean, or what does it look like? First of all, letter A, gracious communication is appreciative. Gracious communication is appreciative. Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. God wants you and I to be thankful, and that applies at home. We should be thankful at home. Jim Benny said, it's not enough merely to see the good. A mate needs to hear your appreciation of it. I learned that 4 compliments are required to offset 1 criticism and maintain a balance of self-worth in a person. Now, let's take a test, class. Don't raise your hand and don't point out your spouse. But let's take a class, all right? Surveying over the last 6 or 7 days since we last met, have you criticized or complimented your spouse more? What has it been for you? And just think about it for a minute. The last week, have there been more criticisms or more compliments? Because we're learning here from a marriage expert that it takes 4 compliments to offset 1 criticism. You say, Brother Rule, I've got so much to criticize in my husband. Then you better compliment a lot, because you got to outweigh him 4-1. So my wife's got a full-time job just to find something that sounds half-hearted or, you know, halfway sincere to get a couple compliments in so she can deal with all the stuff. 4-1 compliments. Now listen, you know what? In marriage, sometimes we take things for granted. Sometimes it's been a while since we've said, hey, thank you for the meal. Thank you for paying the bills. Thanks for mowing the grass. Thanks for doing the dishes. Thanks for doing the laundry. Thanks for changing the sheets. Thanks for ironing. Thanks for getting me some more soap, whatever. We were getting low. Thank you. Sometimes we just take stuff for granted. This is your responsibility. This is your responsibility. These are your roles. These are your roles. This all better get done. And if it doesn't get done, you're going to hear about it. But if it does get done, nothing good is ever caught. And we need to make sure that we're gracious in our communication. Gracious communication is appreciative. So the take home from that is this week, find something you're appreciative about your spouse and tell them. And guys, shame on us if our wife like falls over, you know, shocked that we would take the time to look her in the eye and say thank you for something. That should be something we're oft doing. Honey, thank you. This is a blessing and I appreciate you doing it. Gracious communication is appreciative. Letter B, gracious communication is honest. Gracious communication is honest. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, many grow up in him in all things. Speaking the truth in love. Honesty has to be spoken in marriage. Now let's take the obvious. Number one, we should not lie to one another. How can you lie to yourself? What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Let them leave and cleave. They are one flesh. So we can't lie to one another in marriage. If you want a marriage that is unstable, full of hesitations and insecurities, then have dishonesty be in your marriage. But if you want a marriage that is strong, firm, solid, stable, deep, rooted, ready for whatever comes at it, honesty, honesty, honesty. Brother Earl, if I was honest with my spouse, I don't know what they would think of me. More than being dishonest, I'll tell you that right now. Because what's in the ground is going to come up. The seed's been sown. You get to control what seeds you sow, but you don't get to control when they come up or how they come up. And I'm just telling you, if your spouse finds out something about you in a different arena than you speaking the truth in love, it's not a good thing. From my experience, it's a very bad thing. The truth has never hurt a relationship. And we want to make sure we're speaking the truth, that we're being honest. Gracious communication is honest. And by the way, there needs to be an environment you can be honest. Honey, do I look good in this outfit? Now, there needs to be an environment where honesty can occur. If your relationship is topside, running in all eight cylinders, the affirmation is there, the love is assured, and something comes up where the truth needs to be spoken, then the truth can be spoken. But if something comes up about our work schedule or this commitment or this other thing, and we're not willing to be honest because we don't think the relationship could handle honesty, that's when we begin kind of hiding parts of our lives from our spouse, and we're vulnerable and we're heading in the wrong direction. And this morning in your relationship, if there's any area of dishonesty, I encourage you, be honest, be loving, and develop an arena of strength in your relationship where honesty can be had. It'll be the best thing moving forward. Gracious communication is honest. Number next, gracious communication is harmless. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Gracious communication is harmless. We should not be degrading one another. We should not be calling each other names. We should not be yelling at one another. We should not be cursing at one another. We should not be bad-mouthing our spouse to other people. It's not going to help my marriage to go to all the ladies in this section and tell them how bad my marriage is right now. I mean, just, and it's always a prayer request. Just really pray for Suzanne and I, because we're just, man, we're on the rocks and we just need your prayer. That's foolish. Why? Because every lady here knows we're not right. Well, what if one of them is feeling not right? Now, we've got a situation that Satan can exploit. Now, if my wife and I need some help, then let's go see a pastor and let's get some help. And that probably should follow, let's go to God. Right? So my wife and I getting a copy of God's Word and getting down on our knees and saying, God, we sure need your help. Could you help us? Sometimes people will come to me for help. And by the way, I hope everybody here does when you need it, because it would be my pleasure and honor. But I'm just being honest with you this morning. Sometimes people come to me to help. They've never read their Bible or prayed. It's hard for me to really get in and help when they're not seeking God for help. Because when we meet, that's where we're going to go. This is the Scriptures. This is what God says. This is how the relationship should govern itself. This is how it should happen. This is how it should unfold. This is the way that it should be. And so we want to make sure we're doing those things, and we want to make sure that we're harmless in our speech. We should talk to our spouse the way we want to be spoken to. The golden rule. Harmless. Gracious communication number next is edifying. The word edify means to build up. But he that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I love the verse in Proverbs. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Are the words that we're speaking one to another pleasant? Wives, be careful about what we would refer to maybe as nagging. You say, Brother Rule, what's nagging? Nagging is talking to your husband about the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Now, husbands, let me give you a little hint. If she's doing that, it may very well be because she feels like we never got through it. So you need to lead in the way by sitting down and saying, honey, I know we've talked about this a number of times, and I'm obviously not getting it. So I'd like to have a conversation with you right now where I get it, so we don't have to talk about it again. And be sincere. And sit down and listen. Write it down. Repeat it back. Make sure you got it. Honey, is this what you're saying? Is this what I need to change? Is this what you mean? Is this the way I'm supposed to feel about what you just said? You know, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, just make sure you got it, all right? Make sure it is thoroughly received. And then put a period on it, because it's done. It's concluded. It's taken care of, all right? But ladies, just think about the pleasant words. When your husband gets off work, it should be in his mind, how fast can I get home? How fast can I be with my family? I don't want to pass go. I don't want to collect $200. I don't want to run an errand. I don't want to go with the boys. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. I want to go home. Men like to be in an environment of pleasant words. And when it feels like an assault, and it feels like it's a negative wave of unleashing the aftermath of all the negative events of the day, it's like you open the door and it just like a heat wave hits you and you feel like closing the door and, you know, go trim the hedges in the rain or whatever. Pleasant words. Pleasant words. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Boy, we want to make those things glad. We want to make sure that our communication is edifying, that it's building up. Husbands and wives, it should be that you feel better after spending time together. That's the way it should be. Man, I feel refreshed. We got to have dinner together. I feel great. We got to have family night together. I feel great. We got to spend some time together. That's the way it should be. And if in your heart this morning you're feeling kind of like, to be honest with you, Brother Rule, I kind of dread time when it's just the two of us because it's awkward and the communication is not all that it should be. And I just want to encourage you, study the scriptures and evaluate your own. Well, it's. Did you see the way he said this and the way she said this and she's always good at this and he always says that and da-da-da. And we are so good at articulating the faults of others. Sometimes we can point out that needle in somebody's life and we miss the mode in our own. And sometimes we just need to look in the mirror and say, how is my communication? Is it edifying? Is it building up? Is it pleasant? Brother Rule, I can't be pleasant. We've got so many problems and so many things. If I were pleasant, I'd be glazing over everything. Okay, let me just ask you a question. Do you honestly want it resolved? Because if you do, you might consider a different approach. Now, I'm just speaking the truth in love to you. A wife who comes to her husband with a heart of, honey, I sure love you. Boy, thanks for working hard today. You're incredible. Man, we've got so much to be thankful for. I'm so thankful for your commitment to our family, your hard work, your provision for us, your great dad, all these things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, in this one area, I feel like maybe we're not on the same page and I was hoping we could talk about it. That compared to, oh, I'm glad you're home. You should sit down. I want to tell you all the stuff that's happening and all the things that's going on. And you just got this list. Okay. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Which environment do you think he's really going to tune in with an ear to want to change? I suspect a pleasant environment. I suspect an environment where he is appreciated. You say, well, we're getting around to this ego thing. Your husband is created in the image of God. Read this book and recognize how many times God talks about praising him. God reminds us as his creation, praise me. I want to be praised. Man is created in the image of God. And you know what man likes? Praise. You say, well, that's their problem. Well, maybe. But they like to be praised. And when there's pleasant words, when there's edifying, when there's the building up, when there's praise, it helps the home. Ladies, I'm just trying to help you. If you want a dynamic, solid relationship where resolve is happening, there needs to be praise. And I'm not talking about overlooking problems. You know me well enough to know in this series, we're going to talk about cleaning from under the rug and getting all the problems resolved, but we're never going to get to that in an environment where we can do something about it if there's not praise. So gracious communication is edifying. And then letter E, gracious communication is empathetic. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jim Benny said, what is mercy? It is my commitment to appeal to another's perceptions for the purpose of ministering to him at the level of his need. It is crawling inside someone else's skin, feeling what he feels, and on the basis of the understanding gleaned, ministering to him. I don't even have time to develop this morning, but listen to me. Every husband and wife come from a different paradigm, and their paradigm is going to affect their relationship. My wife's father ran off with a young, attractive lady and deserted his family, and he was in the ministry. My wife grew up in a very difficult arena and circumstance and scenario of upbringing, okay? I'd be an idiot not to think that that's going to affect our marriage. Now, what I love about it is my wife has a passion for a solid marriage, because she wants our marriage to be everything she did not see in her upbringing. She's got a passion for it, and I love it. But it also means I'm going to need to weigh in heavy on assurance and affirmation, because there's some fears in her heart from what she has seen. That's just reality. And I can either get frustrated by it and say, man, you're just a broken piece of equipment, da-da-da-da-da. Or I can be empathetic and say, hey, this is whom God's blessed me with. And this is her paradigm. And it's my job, but greater, it's my privilege to come in and to be the husband I should be. Amen. Not to cast off an excuse. Well, it's just harder for us because of this, that, and the other. Listen. Nobody held a gun to your head the day you said, I do. And you said, I do. Amen. And God has given you a responsibility to meet those needs. And gracious communication is empathetic. It's knowing your spouse. It's knowing that paradigm. And it's saying, God, help me from this day forward not to use it as an excuse, but to roll up my sleeves, to learn, and to be the husband and wife I need to be. Gracious communication. I know we're spending a lot of time in communication, more than I planned for, but as much as I feel the Lord wants us to. And I want us this week to just think about gracious communication. How can we speak in grace? And how can we this week understand one another? How can we build one another up? How can we guard our communication so it's harmless? We're not hurting one another. Let's be honest and let's appreciate one another. We would get a lot out of this lesson if we leave here this week and say, I'm going to find something about my spouse I sincerely and genuinely appreciate, and I'm going to communicate to them. Maybe I'm going to leave a note in their lunch pail. Maybe I'm going to leave a note on her pillow or tape to her mirror. Maybe I'm going to look them in the eye and say, honey, I love you and I appreciate this about you and I just wanted you to know. You say, Brother Rule, that's kind of corny and I don't think it's going to make a difference. Try it. Try it. Every day between now and next Sunday, try it. And then come shake my hand and tell me how it went. I just want to put you to the test. Because I'm telling you right now, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Gracious communication. Let's strengthen the relationships we have through the words we speak. Dear Father, we love you. Thank you for some time in your word on this subject today. And Lord, I pray that it would accomplish in us what you desire through this study. Help us to strengthen our relationships. And then all the things that are happening in our church family this week, I pray. And bring us back safely next Sunday as we continue to study and learn. May we encourage one another in this journey of marriage myths. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.